Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
As if we didn't have enough headlines this morning after the night of sports in Major League Baseball and the Suns' alley-oop finish, we have an update from Mark Stein, NBA and Mavs insider here. To start off our 6 a.m. headlines, it's Sean and RJ. Happy Wednesday to y'all. It's Hump Day headlines.
Hump Day.
Coming at you on 105.3 The Fan. Here is the update from Stein. The Mavericks are not pursuing established executives like Toronto's Masai Ujiri or Danny Ainge. According to a person with knowledge of the team's intentions, those executives would surely want more autonomy than Cuban is willing to give up. That's the sentence right there that makes me sick to my stomach. Those executives would surely want more autonomy than Cuban is willing to give up. Dallas is strongly considering elevating one of Dirk's favorite former teammates, Michael Finley, to be head of basketball operations and would add to the group with an external hire even if Finley gets the job. Cuban needs to surround himself with as much versatility and experience as the Mavs can muster, since he will always be the organization's lead shot caller and prefers to render the final say after consulting top aides.
If you prefer this, So I don't care how badly you wanted Donnie Nelson gone. I can't imagine that you prefer this over that.
My God. This is bad, RJ.
Bad, bad, bad.
Very bad. And someone may say, well, that's what the football team in town does. Yeah, that's bad too. At least Jerry named himself the GM, so there's no mystery. At least Jerry's like, I'm the one. You can come after me. I'm going to do the weekly radio shows. Cuban hides behind the owner title while apparently acting just like Jerry Jones as the general manager at the end of the day. Like, just come out and say it. I wish Cuban would just do an interview and say, I am much more involved in basketball decisions and I make the final call. It's my team. I'm going to do it just like Jerry. But he's always, I felt like, hid, you know, behind Donnie and behind some other decision makers who know more about basketball than him, but this report suggests otherwise.
Look, I mean, if Mark is going to rely on other people to help him, and he's just going to sit there and make an informed decision based on the information that he gets from his analytics department, whatever, from his scouts, okay, then I mean, this is not crazy that it could work. I mean, it's crazy, but it's not crazy that it could work. But if he is basically just going to say, I'm the GM, all roads lead through me, and I'm going to continue doing Shark Tank, and I'm going to continue being spread much more thin than you think, than we all know, I mean, this could be a disaster. I mean, it really could. Like, I'm okay with the, I don't like how the Cowboys operate, but I'm okay with it. They had it for 30 years. It hasn't worked in 25, but they've had it for 30 years. You know, Jerry's been immersed in it. I don't feel like Mark is nearly as immersed in the Mavericks as Jerry is in the Cowboys.
I agree.
Even though Jerry's got like 73 companies that he owns.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever reason, the perception is, and it could be way wrong, is that Jerry lives, breathes, eats, dies at the Star.
Yeah. And Cuban will show up for a shoot around and hop on the elliptical before sitting in the stands.
Right. And you know, he's doing Shark Tank and he's got his other companies and that's fine. I mean, you know, a lot of, I'm sure he's not the only owner in the NBA who has other interests, but he is the only owner in the NBA that has other interests and wants to be the general manager.
And this report is basically saying, I don't want to have someone more established and credible when it comes to basketball decisions messing with my calls. I want a yes man. I want a yes man. Michael Finley would be looked upon by me as a yes man. Michael Finley may be qualified. Michael Finley may be awesome. I don't know. That's not the point. The point is it's the perception and maybe the reality that Mark just wants someone who's going to cede to him and allow him to do it his way. And Michael Finley would basically be a puppet. That's the way I'd view it.
Kind of. I don't know how you would view it any way else.
Like, Finley knows the way I do things. He sits next to me at all these games. He is going to want a GM title at some point in life. So it's a win for him getting the title. I get to continue to do things my way. We'll bring in someone else more experienced to help Michael. But at the end of the day, I make the calls. Why is Mark Cuban qualified to make major basketball personnel decisions? That would be my question to him. That's it. That would be my question to him. We always debate, me and you, along with KNC in a lot of commercial breaks, how much football Jerry currently knows. And I asked this last week. Who knows more about their sport between Jerry and Cuban? I would guess Jerry, even though he's older and you think Mark being younger would be more with it and more up to date and quicker and have more energy. I would still say Jerry. But that's what I would want to know from Mark Cuban. Oh, yeah. Are you trying to be the general manager? Do you really want to be the general manager? And Cuban would say, well, you know, it's just like, you know, anything. Like, I hear from the experts, and if it comes down, that's what Jerry says. If it comes down to a coin flip and it comes down to a 50-50 call, I make that final call. I hope that's the extent to which Mark wants decision-making power to build a basketball team, because I don't think Mark knows enough basketball to build a basketball team.
Well, I guess, see, it's an interesting situation for me because I'm an analytical guy, and there's not many analytical guys that have ever played the game beyond the high school level. Very few.
Yeah.
I would ask you, I'm not saying I think this way, but why is Michael Finley qualified to run a basketball team?
I don't know that he is.
Okay, yeah. Okay, and because I think a lot of people would say, well, he played. And my response would be, players are generally not great talent evaluators.
Right.
I don't care if they played. That doesn't mean you can run a business. A pilot cannot run an airline. They know how to fly the plane. Do they also know how to run an efficient business model?
Yeah.
Like, some might. Some don't. Like,
I just think you have to have a little bit of gut feel in terms of the intricacies of the game. Like, when you're sitting here talking baseball nonstop, you know, you pick up little things within the game that I think can be capitalized on. Like, make fun of Tony La Russa all you want. If you took Tony La Russa's feel, like in his prime at least,
sure,
and mix that with a little bit more of the new school, to me, you'd have a perfect manager. Not just a straight analytical guy, but like Tony La Russa obviously knows the game of baseball. You know, he's a Hall of Famer. He may be an outdated example. I would like to sit next to my general manager who's sitting there saying, oh, you know, here comes the pick and roll. Here's, you know, the matchup we have in the post. Go to, you know, can tell me all the play calls and tell me everything that's happening versus just a casual observer out there. And then you're going to have two of them. I'd like that mix and match like a Nolan JD, but you're going to have two of them in Valgaris and Cuban. I'd like a little bit of feel, but maybe that's why they're saying we would bring in Finley for that. Finley would be our feel, and we're the calculators.
Yeah. And
look, just don't like this whole story because it feels like Mark Cuban won't own up to what he wants to be. That feels that just feels, you know, soft to me. Just say it. Just say, I want to be like Jerry Jones. But he never has given that impression. But that's what this report from Mark Stein tells me. Just own it and explain why you're qualified for the basketball team and the fan base that roots for them.
The
stop hiding behind it.
The big issue now, why the hell would a top dog want to come here? This place is a mess. This went from one of the most stable front offices in sport in the NBA to a mess in a week. In a week. Like, why would you... If I was an agent...
Or just being progressive again, we were the first one with team planes and locker rooms and nice chairs.
Yes.
And now we're just being step two of that progression.
Absolutely. You know, we've gone from play... Now we're going to get everybody full gaming centers in there. 100%. VR, all that stuff. But why... Why, if I'm an agent, am I sending my client here? Why? There's great players I could play with elsewhere.
Who's going to be the first NBA player to say no to the Supermax? What happens first? Ready? An NBA player says no to the Supermax, or a team starts drafting that quarterback in the first round? Like Brian brought us a suggestion, and you've always suggested.
Every 4 years.
Every 4 years, like, okay, sorry, Lamar, we're just going to go ahead and take another one before we give you that new money. Which one happens
that,
first?
That. Because I will not believe that someone is going to voluntarily, because the problem with the NBA Supermax on the rookie deal is that if you decline the Supermax, you're still a restricted free agent.
Yeah.
Which means the team can still sign you and match any offer. So if the Mavs offer Luka $200 million, he says no. He signs a restricted free agent deal with the Suns.
Yeah.
And it's $140 million. The Mavs can match it. And Luka just basically gave away $60 million.
Yep. Which, by the way, what a great move the NBA did to keep players in their hometown.
Absolutely.
Like, phenomenal.
Absolutely.
Like, that's why Giannis stays in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
100%.
That's it.
Yeah, totally. So I don't think you're going to see a guy turn down the Supermax. But you will see a team eventually. And look, we just saw with the Bears. They drafted Mitch. They let him play for 4 years. And they drafted Fields. Well, now, it's different. Mitch wasn't great, but Mitch went to the playoffs three times.
Yeah, but Mitch is a bomb.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he never had a losing season.
Yeah, but he's a bomb.
So, like, you know, but we've seen it already. Like, you know, if you're not elite, they're going to draft somebody else.
The Mavs, according to Tim McMahon, will not seek any compensation from a team that hires Rick Carlisle. Despite him resigning with 2 years remaining on his contract, Cuban does not want to complicate Carlisle's quest for a new opportunity.
Because he was fired. And they've already bought him out. That's my theory. That's my thought.
What is the Autoflex Season Fantex saying about this Mark Stein story? They are not going to pursue established general managers because Mark Cuban doesn't want to give up that much authority, and it could be Michael Finley with another assistant so Cuban can continue to call the shots.
Being different in sports is valuable. You can't capitalize feel if all 30 teams are using feel. Remember when we laughed at Houston's GM a few years back?
Morey?
It would have been Daryl.
Talking about Daryl Morey?
Yeah, it would have been Daryl Morey. We couldn't land a big fish. We were stable and progressive. So let's give this a shot. 20-year-old NBA dudes don't give a crap about stability. Try something different. They didn't come here when it was stable. If you notice the sports franchises around here, they were on the verge of being jokes before they were purchased. The Mavericks are the same way. It's why somebody like Cuban was able to buy them in the first place. Now they're turning them into jokes.
And then someone is saying, look at Magic versus Rob Pelinka. Who are the Lakers better under? Magic is your ultimate basketball feel guy. Missed on Lonzo Ball. Quit on the Lakers. And then Rob Pelinka, an agent of Kobe Bryant, comes in. Now, this is after Magic recruited LeBron, but LeBron wanted to be in Hollywood anyway. And now Rob Pelinka is getting more credit as the non-basketball player than Magic.
Yeah. But that's the thing. You know, if you're in the NBA.
But I know Rob Pelinka for 20 hours a day is focusing on basketball and acquisitions. I you can't convince me that Mark Cuban's doing that.
Well, no, but you know, the role of the NBA GM to me is far different than the NFL one. The NFL GM is about finding and drafting talent and players and positional value. The NBA, the role of the NBA general manager is basically trying to convince a 26-year-old superstar to come to your city. That's really the only way you can win. I mean, there are other ways, but it's much more difficult. And if that's the case, if that's the NBA GM's job, convincing some 26-year-old athlete to come here, then it doesn't matter how great of a basketball guy you are. Like Rob Pelinka, like you mentioned, what made him great? LeBron James. Why is any GM that wins a title great? Like, what's Pat Riley if LeBron doesn't and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh decide they're not going to go to Miami and all team up together? They weren't a perennial, but they had won a title in 06, but look what they did after that.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Batum to get the ball at the baseline. He has it. He's going to throw it length of the court. He does. It is grabbed, and the game is over. It went off on the right side for Paul George. He did put a shot up. Don't know if it would have fallen in time or not, but this one is history and an unusual, amazing game you can talk about for years, but the Suns come away with a victory. Oh, brother!
Gosh. Suns Radio with the final call after DeAndre Ayton throws down a game-winning alley-oop from Jay Crowder with under 1 second left. Phoenix wins by one. This after Paul George misses two free throws. With 8 seconds left, that would have made it a three-point game. Phoenix leads the Western Conference Finals 2-0. It's Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station 105.3 The Fan. This Ayton ender, I know what you're first going to say, that will be victims of the moment and will hype this up as an all-time game ender and then forget about it in 5 years. But as a playoff game winner in the NBA, Can y'all think of better ones? The ones that pop into my mind, the LeBron three that he hit, I think it was
Orlando,
against
the Orlando one, like in Cleveland?
Yes.
Early in his career.
Yeah, the one where he like sprinted back.
Yeah.
Reggie Miller's against Michael. Of course, you have Michael against Byron Russell in Chicago. Not the one in game six. Derek Fisher, 0.4. Ori had to have had one. I remember the top of the key one against the Kings where the Lakers cheated Sacramento in that series. Luka versus the Clippers.
Which MJ one? You said the one against Cleveland?
The fist pump against Byron Russell, game one, Utah, because that was okay. At the buzzer.
Yeah. And then obviously the one over Elo.
Elo, absolutely.
You had Dame. Man,
when you
the
bring,
Dame one where he kind of looked at this crowd like stone cold face.
When you bring these up, it's already bumping Ayton's down. But
yeah.
you just don't see a game-winning alley-oop like that. You don't see a game-winning alley-oop dunk.
No, you don't. You don't. Let's not forget, didn't Stockton send the Jazz to the finals?
Over the Rockets. I think that was against the Barkley Rockets.
And by the way, you mentioned the Rockets. You did mention Dame, right? Damian Lillard.
Yeah,
okay. I just want to make sure. There's so many of them. And like you said, the Ori one. Wait, what do you mean about the Ori one against the Kings in 02? The Lakers stole that?
The series was fixed, I believe, from the refs. But that was the slap out.
Yeah.
I can't remember who back tapped it, but someone slapped it back out to Ori to hit the game winner. Kobe hit one against Phoenix where he yanked his jersey to the side.
Yep.
It was from the right side of the key. So, man, just that was off the top of our heads. So, the Ayton one's not going to reach anywhere near top five or probably not even top 10.
Yeah, because it's DeAndre Ayton.
Right.
You're mentioning all these incredible players and all these other shots. No one's going to remember
Ayton. There's something about a shot versus an alley-oop dunk out of the... Now, this one is the most unique, probably. But the other ones, I mean, you know, there's a prettiness to being able to create your own shot with a dribble or coming off a screen.
Yep.
That this one, I mean, that he came off a screen, but it was a little bit different. People are bringing up the Kawhi, the quadruple dunk.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yep. And then another one is Vince Carter's 3-pointer with Toronto, Ray Allen in the corner.
Oh, Miami.
Yeah, but wasn't there a little time left? Maybe a couple seconds left? But you get the point.
Yeah.
But certainly this was a great one. And it was set up because there was a couple of missed free throws with Paul George, who had a really good last few minutes. I mean, made a couple of nailed shots. Just guts. And then fell all over it right there when he missed those couple of free throws. But this was a fantastic finish, without question.
Awesome finish. Again, no Chris Paul and no Kawhi Leonard. Paul George ended up with 26 points. He was 5 of 10 from the free throw line. Hopefully Luka Doncic is taking note of what can happen when you miss your free throws late. Devin, Kobe, Bryant, Booker, according to Stephen A. Smith, went 5 of 16 with 20 points. And you get the stunner last night in Phoenix as the crowd was losing their minds. NBA draft lottery beforehand, the Detroit Pistons end up with the number one pick. Cade Cunningham looks like he's going to Detroit.
Looks like he's going to Detroit. We'll never hear from him again. we don't pay attention to the Pistons. There are several teams that if you go to...
Unless it can be like a Ja Morant effect.
Maybe. Yeah, that could maybe work. But like right now... If you play for Detroit, Orlando, Indiana kind of is in that same regard.
Yep. Sacramento.
Sacramento, Minnesota, just don't pay attention to you.
No.
You just don't matter.
Don't matter. No one cares. So it's going to be Detroit 1, the Rockets at 2, Cavaliers 3, Raptors 4, Orlando 5, OKC 6. They have 3 first round picks.
Oh, nice.
They're at number 6. Warriors 7. Orlando picks again at 8. Sacramento 9. The Pelicans at 10. Followed by the Hornets, Spurs, Pacers, and Warriors again. So Golden State will pick at 7 and 14. But that was the NBA draft lottery. The 76ers and Daryl Morey held a season-ending press conference yesterday. Morey trying to play his cards right when it comes to Ben Simmons. This after Stephen A. Smith was live on television and got a text from a filthy source talking about my Kristaps Porzingis trade target.
I just received it from somebody very, very close to the situation in Philadelphia about Ben Simmons. This is a quote. This is not me. This is them. Quote, he doesn't work. He doesn't listen. And everyone around him is family. And he's constantly babied.
Mm.
Uh-oh. I don't want nobody's family around. No, I'm kidding.
Not the Porzingis Mafia? And his brother who's
right. And Joker's brother, too.
The brothers. You see them react when Joker was getting into it in the Denver final elimination game. They looked like they were going to wait for people out back.
Yes, they did. But
is that Jason Statham who Troy does the accent. They look like they're in a Jason Statham movie, along with the Porzingis boys. Right, Jason?
Sorry about that, mate. I was over here on my phone talking because I'm Jason Statham. I'm getting ready for a big blockbuster coming out this summer. It's called Fast 9. I'm not in it, but you know, just got to get ready for it because I'm Jason Statham. What are you guys talking about?
Feels like you just need to throw a Karolinko in there.
That's right. You guys talking about Ben Simmons? Ben Simmons from Australia. I'm not from Australia. I may be. I don't know. I'm Jason Statham.
Where is Jason Statham from?
I'm not even sure, but I'm Jason Statham. Got to go.
That's good. Well done. So that was Stephen A. Smith with the work ethic. Now, I haven't heard work ethic issues about KP. Yeah. I'm sure all these guys are babied, and I'm sure everyone in their inner circle says, you're the man, you're the man. But that worries me a little bit. How is his shot going to get fixed?
If he doesn't work?
How's it going to get reconstructed? Yeah, if he doesn't work. Yeah, if there's no work ethic. Yeah. That's not good.
There's zero chance it gets fixed if he doesn't work. That is the problem and solution number one. And if he wants no part of putting in the effort, then I don't want any part of him here. And I also don't want a guy with mommy and daddy issues, if that's what he has. Now, there is the other option where someone in the Sixers would look at a scapegoat him by leaking this to Stephen A. to mask the fact that they have a poorly built team, or if they don't have a poorly built team, they have a coach that can't win without Kevin Garnett.
Well, Daryl Morey, well, big three in Boston. I don't know if it was KG.
Right, but I mean, KG was like the emotional leader, the guy that you know, basically held everybody accountable.
Daryl Morey was asked, is Ben Simmons going to be a Sixer next season?
We have a very strong group we believe in. None of us can predict the future of what's going to happen.
Hang on. What is this delivery?
We have a very strong group we believe in.
We did a. That sounds like an impression from this show. Who? What voice is that? We've done a character or some type of impression like that. Actually, it may have been like a Ben Skin.
Hey guys, you're talking about impressions again, Jason Statham.
Yeah, that's McCoy.
Al McCoy. Yes.
No, Mitch McCoy.
Oh, Mitch McCoy.
That was old afternoon show bit. Mm-hmm. That's gonna be hard to Jason Statham. Let's hear it one more time. The actual answer from Daryl McCoy.
We have a very strong group we believe in. None of us can predict the future of what's going to happen in any place. Mm. We love what Ben brings. We love what Joel brings. We love what Tobias brings.
Oh, my God.
In terms of what's next, we're going to do what's best for the 76ers to give us the best chance to win the championship.
Well, the energy just that he exudes here. I mean, the guy, how he wasn't a talk show host.
I'm not sure. Hey, maybe he was celebrating. Congratulations, Ben Simmons. Today's the anniversary. 5 years ago today, you were the number one pick in the NBA draft.
A total lack of endorsement from Daryl Morey, the Sixers GM. He cannot let it be known that they want to deal him because then you lose some leverage. But Morey said, a lot of what I'm reading, and Daryl Morey knows what everyone's talking about. He'll respond on Twitter real quick. I think Howard Eskin, our friend Atolo, sent us this from Filthy yesterday on the Odyssey app. Howard Eskin, the Burger King Eagles insider, said, are you going to review and do a really in-depth look at your roster and analysis of where you're going this offseason? And Morey apparently basically said, yeah, what you just described, Howard, was my actual job as a GM.
He just described the exact role of a GM.
Yeah, he's crushed Eskin a couple times there, which we absolutely love. But Morey said, look, people are saying we're in a bad situation. I wouldn't have come here. Doc wouldn't have come here. 25 or 26 teams in the league would love to be in our situation with a near caliber MVP, all-star, near all-star in Tobias Harris. And he's right. I mean, the Sixers are not in a bad spot at all. Embiid, Simmons, and Tobias Harris, their challenge is just finishing it.
Yeah. No, they're a quality roster.
Hell yeah.
I mean, we would trade their roster for the Mavs any day of the week.
Real quick.
Now, you would not trade Luka for anybody on the Sixers, but you know, roster to roster, you know, with or without Luka involved, I mean, the Sixers are better they're better top to bottom. So, I mean, like, let's not think that this team is trash. They need to completely rip it down and rebuild it. But they got to figure something out. They really, really do. Like, you were in a perfect situation. They had the Nets. Like, the Nets lost this year. LeBron was out. The Warriors were out. I mean, it was you against the Bucks for the East, and you couldn't beat the Hawks.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
We were trying to figure out if Carl Nassib was really going to be accepted. You were going to get your legitimate and fake reactions to Nassib coming out as the first active gay player in the NFL. You know that no one was going to sit there, no hater was going to sit there and tweet anything negative. But I think this is a pretty good indicator of where we're progressing in society. Adam Schefter tweeted that Nassib's jersey has become the top seller since his announcement on Instagram. That, to me, shows an awful lot. Mm-hmm. His number 94 became the top-selling jersey across the Fanatics network Monday and Tuesday, according to Adam Schefter. His $100,000 donation to the Trevor Project has been matched by Roger Goodell and the NFL. But the fact that people are buying his jersey in support, that to me is that's more of a sign than social media reaction, which you know was going to be filled with praise.
You hoped it was. Still waiting on the NFL players to kind of step their game up on that one.
Are there no NFL players?
The only NFL players out of 1,696 of them to tweet in support for Carl Nassib. I did a search on this one. The only active ones were J.J. Watt and Saquon Barkley.
Two.
Julian Edelman just retired, right? So he's not active anymore.
Right.
You had Warren Moon. You had countless NFL teams. You had the NFL commissioner's office. You had other former players like Ryan Clark. And I looked, and it was J.J. Watt and Saquon Barkley.
And that tells you?
That tells me that either they're all on vacation in a place that doesn't have cell phone service, or they ain't ready for it.
Yeah, so I thought I was really surprised by the number one jersey sale story. That's a good thing. What's not a good thing is the job status, the immediate job status of Joy Behar. Is she one of these talking heads on TV?
She's on The View.
She's on The View. Do your parents watch that?
My parents?
Yeah. Sounds like some of your dad's daytime lineup.
My parents would not be cut dead watching The View.
Why? Is it like a liberal show?
Oh, big time. They would never, like they have.
Ain't QAnon ain't tuning in.
No, ain't QAnon ain't tuning in. They've got, they got one like right-leaning girl. What was it? Megan McCain.
John McCain's daughter.
Oh, okay. Otherwise, the...
Yeah, and I don't even think, like, my parents probably think Megan McCain is super lib. Yeah. She's not Q enough for them.
She's not Q enough. Man, for like, you got to do one roundtable recording, and for like our final week ever, our final show, we need to play it just so we don't have to pay any repercussions of playing like political stuff. But I got to hear it.
Do you know what my mom got me for Father's Day? I haven't told you. She got me a Pepsi t-shirt.
Why?
Because Coke, she won't buy Coca-Cola products anymore because they spoke out against the Georgia voting law. And I said, Mom, they rescinded that. They took it back. They walked it back. And she said, I don't care. It's too late.
Did you ever think?
No, I never thought.
The first time meeting these parents, especially his mother, Troy, As we're in the choppy household for Thanksgiving, I think our first or second year together, and she's serving up fried ravioli appetizers that his mom would go on this Republican rampage like this?
No, I had no idea she would do that. Much like I had no idea I was invited to that dinner because I wasn't.
Oh, wait. She was talking about you nonstop.
Yeah,
she
liked
you. She loved you.
She loved you. Yeah. She loved you. Okay,
loved me so much not to invite me.
It was after our pregame show right down the street. When did she turn on the switch?
She turned on the switch the same time everyone else in America turned on the switch.
Trump?
Which is during the 2016 election. You either went one way or the other.
Yeah.
And they went one way.
So this is Joy Behar on The View talking about Carl Nassib's announcement, trying to make a joke that didn't land.
I applaud him. I'm really happy. I might even watch a football game every now and then. Who does he play with again? He's not the Dolphins, right?
Listen, don't ask me. Vegas, Brian, you're asking the wrong person. I want to set him up.
Las Vegas.
Okay.
The Las Vegas Raiders.
You know, Anna, after they said penetration in the end zone, they lost me. So, Sonny, is this a sign that the sports world is catching up with the times? What do you think?
Okay. Enjoy. See, working with you now, this F my head up in my brain because I automatically go into RJ defense mode that no one should be guilty of anything. Could I? He's staring at me like, how are you going to defend it?
No, I support all defense.
I thought that the joke when I first read the story was like directly at Nassib. So I thought she was sitting there talking about maybe his sex life and I would have absolutely destroyed her. I don't know what liberties they have on that show to be making sexual type jokes, but it sounded like she was just talking about like sex in general. It was a little too blunt, I would think, for network TV. You don't say that, but I thought she was kind of talking about him. So it's not as bad in my mind.
Anna, after they said penetration in the end zone, they lost me. So, Sonny, is this a sign that this...
Yeah, I don't think that's offensive towards Nassib. I thought she was like saying something related to his behind-the-scenes relationships, but she was just talking about sex in general.
A certain kind. Yeah.
Yeah, well, never mind. Let me hear one more.
A certain kind of relations.
Let me hear it one more time.
Anna, after they said penetration in the end zone, they lost me. So, Sonny, is this a sign that this...
Yeah, either way, she's going to get in trouble for that. In the end zone, maybe she was trying to talk about Nassib. I don't know. She
was clearly making a football innuendo with...
Yes.
With
homosexual. I see you stuttering over there, so let me jump in. Number one, you women need to get your ass back in the studio because that delay made it terrible. Even worse.
I thought you were gonna say the kitchen.
No, that's your comment.
Oh my god.
I'm kidding.
I'm so offended.
Terrible.
And then number two, Joy, you are not Lisa Lampanelli.
Yeah.
You're not on a roast.
Yeah.
They're in
network TV.
Yeah. Know the room.
Yeah.
Know the audience. Know where you be.
Someone said that to her in a commercial break and she tried to walk it back.
Well, I just long for the days when you can just be gay in the world and it doesn't become a big deal. By the way, that inappropriate joke I made for daytime television, scratch it. Make believe I never said it. We'll be right back.
Oh.
Wait, that's not how it works.
Now listen, I support that kind of apology. Like, I like to just say, like, guys, just strike this for the record. This never happened.
It doesn't work like that.
I invent my own flux capacitor and go back in time. I try to do that all the time. I do that in my own life every day. But I know the reality is that doesn't really work. You can't really do that and say, just forget it didn't happen. But Joy Behar is not going to get killed for this as much as, like, I don't know. She probably should. She's not. It's not nearly as blown up as it should be.
What will happen?
Nothing.
Prediction. Troy?
Nothing. Nothing will happen. Absolutely nothing will happen.
Not a 1-2 suspension rest of the week?
No, they will make more of an uproar about, you know, Meghan McCain making some rant regarding Biden as opposed to what Joy Behar did. So nothing will happen.
If Meghan said this would be a bigger story.
Oh, way bigger story. Way bigger story.
Why?
Because of how right she is. And by right, I don't mean correct. I mean her
penetration in the end zone.
I appreciate that clean delivery right there because I'm going to use it.
What is that?
Like if Joe Rogan said this, if Elon Musk said this, it'd be huge news.
Yeah. And with Meghan McCain, you know her affiliation and you know the affiliation of the right. And so people will say, well, there she is, just using her platform to push her propaganda. It will be a huge story if McCain had said it.
Was Behar a comedian at any point in time?
What
was she? I would sit her out the rest of the week. That's it. Today, tomorrow, Friday, take a seat. Because that's way too blunt, way too graphic for TV. Even if she wasn't trying to go directly towards Nassib's personal life, which it's hard to argue she wasn't. 877-881-1053, Autoflex Leasing Fan Text. Almost had to unfollow friend of the show. Dan Orlovsky yesterday. What are you doing? What are you doing, Dan? And Tolo sent us this. He's already gone on a crusade against hamburgers, I think. You know, he's got to remind us how healthy and fit he is. He tweeted, potato chips are gross. Tortilla chips are everything. Also, if you scoop salsa, RJ is obsessed with chips and salsa. If you scoop salsa instead of dipping, you're gross. You scoop queso and guacamole. This is how Kavanaugh eats chips and salsa. He takes the chip. He dumps it down. He doesn't dip. He dumps it down, dinks it in, and then shakes off excess and then eats it.
You know what that is? Somebody who can't handle the heat. That's what that is. You don't dip chips and salsa.
Yeah, you're talking about the salsa, but what about the boomer? What is it?
And slathered with habanero queso cheese sauce.
What about queso cheese sauce?
Potato chips are gross. So this is how.
What are you talking about?
This is how psycho Orlovsky is on social media because he responds to everyone.
Everyone.
I tweeted back unfollowing. Orlovsky clicked on my profile to see if I unfollowed. Screenshotted my back. He screenshotted it because I saw my son as my background pick and it says Sean Tree follows you. So he checked to see if I did it. He went to my profile, screenshot it, and sent it back to me saying, no, you didn't.
Yeah, like wow. I don't know who actively wakes up in the morning and chooses to just
him and Baker.
Yeah.
Him, Baker, and KD.
Right. Like let's light Twitter ablaze today.
Dipping your salsa instead of scooping, who dips it?
You know what? Somebody who lives in Connecticut and they don't have good salsa there.
Don't have good salsa. So that's Dan Orlovsky with a food crime take yesterday, Troy.
Well, now he's really trying to divide the country right now because he just tweeted something 1 hour ago. Dan Orlovsky did.
Oh, no.
Are you team 90210 or team Saved by the Bell? Okay, now we have a controversy.
Woo!
Guys, those are my two favorite teenage years shows that I watched. And you can't say which one you are. It's like saying, are you team Seinfeld or Law & Order? They're completely different.
Yeah, they are kind of different.
One's a 30-minute comedy and the other one's a teenage angst drama.
Yeah. It is kind of apples and oranges, or potato chips and tortilla and salsa.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.